Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Nolan Buchanan? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Nolan Keith Buchanan was born in 1989 and lived in Benicia, California. His father, Adam Buchanan, divorced his mother and was awarded full custody of Nolan. Adam found a new love interest in 2006. Her name was Molly McAfee. Adam and Molly became engaged. They had a son named Gavin in 2007. The family of four, Adam, Molly, Nolan, and Gavin, lived in a house on Cambridge Drive. Adam owned a construction company called Buchanan Construction. For a while, the company seemed to be doing well. Adam and Molly had been able to make several luxury purchases. In 2014, they bought a cabin in Greenwood, California. This is in El Dorado County, about 100 miles northeast of their house. In addition, they had two vehicles, which were described as vintage and a pontoon boat. Nolan started assisting in the construction business at the age of 12. Over time, it became apparent that Buchanan Construction was not doing well financially. The company was carrying a lot of debt and was failing. Similarly, the relationship between Adam and Molly was failing. The couple frequently argued. They were visited by the police on at least five occasions. By 2015, the arguing was out of control. They were throwing things and referring to each other using impolite names. Molly started sleeping in a separate room downstairs. Despite all these problems between Adam and Molly, they remained together romantically and continued to function as a family. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. Adam and Molly had planned on making the cabin in Greenwood their primary residence someday, but the cabin was not ready. It did not have electricity, the interior walls were not finished, and it needed a lot of other work. The family planned a weekend trip to the cabin starting on Friday, September 11, 2015. They were going to have a little vacation and do some work on the cabin. 2 days later, on Sunday, September 13, 2015, at about 10 a.m., firefighters responded to reports that the Buchanan cabin was on fire. When they arrived, they found the cabin burned to the ground. It wasn't actively burning, but the rubble was still warm. In the rubble, investigators found three sets of human remains. They belonged to 38-year-old Adam, 37-year-old Molly, and 8-year-old Gavin. Here's what the police learned during their investigation. Gasoline had been used in the fire. The victims did not inhale smoke before they died. They were dead when the fire started. It appeared as though all three victims had been shot to death. Gavin had an obvious gunshot wound to his head, and there were numerous small metal fragments in the other two bodies. Later, investigators were able to prove that all three victims were murdered with a .22 caliber rifle. It was possible that one of the victims was actually the killer, but considering that no firearms were found at the cabin, it appeared as though someone else must have been involved. The police decided to visit Adam's house. When they arrived, they found 16-year-old Nolan Buchanan alone in the house, drinking beer. Investigators told Nolan that there had been a fire in the area of his father's cabin, and they needed to speak with Adam and Molly. Nolan told them that his parents had gone to the cabin without him and would be home that evening. The police then explained to Nolan that his family was missing. Nolan explained how he did not go to the cabin because there was not enough room in the Dodge truck. He told the police that his little brother could have caused the fire by tipping over a generator and pointed out how his parents frequently argued. It was like Nolan was trying to explain to the police what could have killed his family. On Monday, September 14, Nolan met his grandfather at the construction business. His grandfather said that Nolan was wearing a new sports coat, which was out of the ordinary. Nolan was focused on getting the work crews ready for the day and seemed emotionless. He told his grandfather that he was having one of the best mornings of his life because he spent the night with his former girlfriend. The same morning, Nolan visited his fitness instructor, who noticed that Nolan was focused on maintaining the construction business and getting access to bank accounts. When Nolan met with Molly's mother later that week, she noticed that he was wearing new clothes and jewelry. Eventually, investigators were able to piece together some of the timeline. On Friday, September 11, 2015, Adam's ATM card was used to make a purchase at a Taco Bell at 9:17 p.m. Surveillance video indicated that whoever made the purchase was driving a white Ford F-150. The restaurant was about 20 miles northeast of Adam's house on the route to the cabin. Four drinks were purchased, which makes it seem like all four of the family members were in the pickup truck at that time. One could argue that starting a journey with Taco Bell foreshadows an internal rebellion, but this family had no inkling of the seriousness that would unfold. Late on Saturday, September 12, the day before the fire, Adam and Molly went to a bar not far from the cabin. At 2:32 a.m., now on Sunday, September 13, surveillance video captured the Ford F-150 driving in the direction of the cabin. At 3:33 a.m., 1 hour and 1 minute later, the truck was captured coming back from the direction of the cabin and heading toward the interstate. A toll station camera captured the truck in the Bay Area on Sunday afternoon. Adam's ATM card was used several times that day in that area. He only had one card. It became clear to the police that Nolan's story was not adding up. The family didn't take the Dodge truck to the cabin. Rather, they took the Ford, and Nolan must have been with them.
Studium und Praxis in einem? Das geht mit einem dualen Studium bei Mainova. Bei uns lernst du an coolen Partnerhochschulen und arbeitest an zukunftsweisenden Projekten der Energieversorgung mit. Danach kannst du gleich loslegen, mit einem Bachelor in der Tasche und Praxiserfahrung, auf die du bauen kannst. Starte voller Energie in deine berufliche Zukunft. Bewirb dich jetzt unter mainova.de/karriere. Mainova, da steckt mehr dahinter.
Investigators started looking into Nolan's alibi. Nolan told his former girlfriend that he planned to see her Friday, September 11, but then had another friend provide her a false reason for not meeting her. Nolan called his former girlfriend early on Sunday, September 13. He told her that he had not gone on the cabin trip and was home all weekend. When Nolan met with his former girlfriend, she noticed that he was wearing new clothing. Nolan visited several people on Sunday. He also told them that he had been home over the weekend. It's like he just couldn't stop talking about how he definitely did not go on the trip to the cabin. The police found some curious internet searches, which were made using Nolan's cell phone. He had been interested in topics like arson, disabling alarm systems, night vision goggles, and safe cracking. Investigators were able to catch a lucky break as far as locating evidence. Students taking part in a cleanup effort found Adam's .22 caliber rifle and Molly's purse under a bush about a mile away from Buchanan Construction. The rifle was the murder weapon, and Nolan's fingerprints were on it. Nolan maintained his original story each time the police interviewed him. He was arrested after his fourth interview and charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder. The police would later find out that Nolan allegedly admitted to his grandfather that he murdered Gavin to prevent his brother from having to grow up in a chaotic household. Nolan's trial started in April 2018. He testified in his own defense. Here is what he said happened. Nolan admitted to going with his family to the cabin. He said that his father was yelling at Molly and yelling at him. The arguing continued into Saturday. That night, Nolan and his brother Gavin went to sleep at about 11 p.m. Nolan woke up after hearing screaming and gunshots. When the noises stopped, Nolan could hear the sounds of somebody walking toward him and his brother. He was unable to see who the mysterious figure was, but he could see the person shoot his brother Gavin with the rifle. Nolan grabbed the barrel of the rifle and was able to disarm the attacker. As the perpetrator fell backward, Nolan fired twice in the dark. He struck and killed the attacker and then realized it was his father. Nolan checked on Gavin and Molly, but they were both dead. He decided that his best course of action was to douse the bodies in gasoline and set them on fire. Not surprisingly, the state had a different theory about what happened. They believed that when Adam and Molly were at the bar, Nolan shot and killed Gavin. He then waited in the cabin for his parents to return and shot them too. On June 13, 2018, Nolan Buchanan was convicted of 3 counts of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to 150 years in prison, but could be released in 25 years. Factoring in his time served, he is eligible for parole in 2039, when he will be around 50 years old. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one, there isn't really any doubt that Nolan Buchanan was responsible for the murders. Even though it is technically possible for his self-defense story to be true, there was evidence that Nolan premeditated the murders. I guess he would have people believe that he was planning on killing his family, but then his father beat him to the punch. It doesn't make any sense. Item number two, Nolan was described as distant, quiet, and weird. He worked with some friends on film projects where he was captured on video being aggressive. Nolan had a challenging environment at home. His father expected him to work, perform chores, get good grades, and take care of his younger brother, Gavin. It sounds like Adam may have been physically violent toward Nolan on a few occasions. There is no doubt that the household was filled with screaming and arguing. His father was much harder on Nolan than he was on Gavin, which is something that Nolan came to resent. Adam frequently insulted Nolan. For example, on one occasion, Nolan injured himself on a quad bike when they were all at the cabin. He sprained both ankles and was in quite a bit of pain. Adam called Nolan names, suggesting he was not masculine because he wanted to go to the emergency room. There is a sense that Adam was unsophisticated, sadistic, crude, and not someone who Nolan could count on for support. In order to protect his reputation, Adam insisted that Nolan not tell anyone about the mistreatment. All the secrets were to stay in the family. In addition to mistreating Nolan, Adam was extremely unkind to Molly. He was particularly displeased that she had trouble with her weight. Molly kept a journal in which she recorded her concerns about Adam's poor behavior. At work, Adam wasn't much better. He was described as a bad boss who frequently used expletives. Despite all of Adam's shortcomings, Nolan said he loved his father. His opinion of Molly was not as generous. Nolan suggested that she was an unpredictable drug user who was not welcome at Buchanan family gatherings. Moving to the last item, number three. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. I think there were two separate dynamics playing out with Nolan simultaneously. The first dynamic was how Nolan was full of rage at his father because of the mistreatment. The second dynamic involved Nolan's desire to have money and freedom. Even though the construction business was failing, Nolan wanted to be in charge of it. After the murders, he declared to his relatives, "I am the sole owner." Adam pressured his son to work in the business, which led to Nolan developing grandiosity and a sense of entitlement. Nolan was given too much responsibility and placed under too much stress. I think what happened here is that the first dynamic, the rage dynamic, paved the way for Nolan to fully explore the second dynamic, the greed dynamic. Adam taught his son both dynamics. He gave him all the tools that he needed to become a family annihilator. Now moving to my final thoughts. The case of Nolan Buchanan can be summarized in this way. A boy named Buchanan was born to a builder in Benicia. Family life was a battleground, and the boy felt like a burden. He borrowed from his father how to breed bitterness, be brutal, and break bonds. The boy became absorbed by the Buchanan building business, which boomed briefly, but bankruptcy beckoned. His ambition blocked benevolence, and the boy butchered his family in a bloodstained betrayal. Ultimately, the boss baby bore the blame and was banished behind bars.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.